Hey, this is Adam Carolla. Let me tell you about my podcast. We do it every single day, so you can subscribe and there'll always be a fresh one waiting for you. It's about 2 hours of topical topics and news and guests and comedians and, of course, my own vitriolic take on just about everything that's going on in the world. Plus, we get a lot of really interesting, notable people who come in. We'll get politicians, we'll get tastemakers, we'll get stand-ups, we'll get authors, we'll get pundits, we'll get, I think about covers it all, celebrities as well, and we'll do some really interesting interviews with them. You can get The Adam Carolla Show wherever you download your podcast. All right, this show brought to you in part by Simply Safe. If you have 30 minutes, you never have to worry about break-ins ever again. Just go to simplysafe.com/Adam, get all the sensors you need, all the help you need as well to set it up. Custom system's going to show up post-haste at simplysafe.com/Adam.
Recorded live at Corolla One Studios with Adam Carolla and board-certified physician and addiction medicine specialist, Dr. Drew Pinsky. You're listening to The Adam and Dr. Drew Show.
Get it on. Got to get on. The show's making our mimic. Get it on. That's Dr. Drew. He's a board-certified physician, addiction medicine specialist, and we're sitting in his condo in New York City.
Yeah, we are. Right, it's weird, isn't it? It's fun, though.
Comedian Dave Smith, co-host of Legion of Skanks, is going to hang with us. He did my podcast, which I recorded from Drew's kitchen, and we love Dave so much, we told him to just hang out, do an episode.
It wasn't just he loved him so much that we couldn't stop talking to him. It's like, we got to turn the mics back on. Like, this conversation is wild. Keep it, put it on the record.
Yeah. All of life is a podcast, really, you know.
It's how I spend time with friends now.
Yeah.
Really, if I want to see somebody, like, come on my pod, we'll hang out for an hour.
Yeah, Dave's a libertarian. He's just a thinker. I'm always overjoyed to find people like Dave in the world, and then I'm simultaneously disappointed at everyone else. Like, why aren't there more normal people who think they can use their fucking head?
I know. I walked through the kitchen here when you guys were talking about how the regime needs to find racism and white supremacy because they've run out of things to rescue people from. COVID, white supremacy. We've got to be the regime of rescue, of helping people get away from trouble. Except once they've done it, now what?
Well, right. And isn't it, because it is kind of like, even when you think about like American wars, you know, it's always like the Nazi shit is always evoked, like Vladimir Putin is Adolf Hitler. What are you, you know, oh my God, what are you going to, you're going to give him, you're going to appease him? No, that's just like with Hitler. This doesn't work. Saddam Hussein was Hitler. It's this, it's like they always got to go, but remember that one war? Remember that one when we beat the Nazis? You know, now Trump is Hitler. Everyone, it's always got to be
this thing, even though it just doesn't make sense. We need a new trend. Trump is Napoleon. Putin is Napoleon. No, he's Peter the Great. That's it. Let's go back all the way.
But isn't it, why can't he ever be one of the other one? Why does it always have to be Hitler? And then you're all, it's like none of them ever makes sense. Like comparing any of these people to Hitler just makes absolutely no sense.
But then, and also you have to wonder, like, what is the true game? Like, I'm seeing the governor, Gavin Newsom of California, and he's like, we dare to be free in California, not like Texas, not like Florida. And at first, I was like, free? Your state income tax is 13.5%. We were talking about free? That's the opposite of free. Like, you are extracting tons of money from your citizens, like, number one. Number two, what is your definition of freedom?
I'm pretty sure it's cutting your son's dick off. I'm pretty is the definition.
We had a punt. Pass and kick competition of freedom amongst states. Yeah. It's called COVID.
Yeah.
And different states reacted differently. California, if this was a punt, pass, and kick competition like they used to have at the halftime of the NFL game, the pass would have traveled 4 yards. The kick would go behind the goalpost, over the guy's head, full Charlie Brown, and the punt would go up in the air, get hit by a gust of breeze, and then land back onto the punter.
Yeah, that's California.
You failed. If you're talking about a punt, pass, and kick competition of freedom, California is at the very bottom of the freedom competition.
competition. And you guys, never, now you're boasting about freedom? Yeah, because you get to have your dick
but
cut off
for Did you see the commercial he made attacking DeSantis? Which, number one, was just very strange, because it's strange to see like a governor running a campaign ad against another governor that he's not even like in an election against. But he literally... I was blown away. Like, my jaw was on the floor. That he literally did a Florida versus California commercial and went, come move to Florida, to California where there's freedom.
Yeah.
And you're like, wait, hold on. Wait a minute. So you're actually telling me your definition of freedom is like, okay, yeah, sure, we had lockdowns here and they didn't. But, you know, you can't teach your first grader about transgenderism in Florida. That's and you can't even give them puberty blockers. So how free are you really just because you can work? It's like, is this actually your argument?
Read the law, the so-called Don't Say Gay law? It's 4 pages.
It's
very simple.
It's the most reasonable bill that's been passed in the last 30 years in any state or federal level.
It is two sentences of substance that essentially say we don't want things from kindergarten to third grade that is not age or developmentally appropriate. Parents are allowed to complain, which is sort of the issue that people are worried about. Like, how far will that go? But the actual substance of the law is... Yeah, maybe we shouldn't be discussing all this stuff with little kids. If it's not, if, and by the way, it qualifies it, if not developmentally and age appropriate.
But this, and then the thing is, when you argue with progressives, it's so, they have this real dishonest tactic of like, they'll go to like kind of the extreme example, but they'll never deal with like what we're really talking about. So even in like, you know,
he and I talk about all the time.
But even when they talk about abortion, if they talk about it, it's always like, okay, but what about the 12-year-old who's raped by her dad and is this and that? And then you're kind of like, all right, I get your argument there. But how about like the 90% of times when it's this? Can we take... So what they'll do is they'll be like, so wait, so you're saying now if there's like a second grade teacher who's a gay dude, you know, he can't be like, oh, me and my boyfriend just went on vacation. But like the straight guy can be like, hey, me and my wife just went on vacation or whatever. And you're like, all right, I kind of get your argument about that.
But that's
how
not
about,
true.
But how about...
That's like, not even true.
Right, but even if there was a case where you're like, if my reading of the law implied that maybe that would be talking about some of these things you're not allowed to talk about.
Curriculum.
But you're like, but how about just don't teach these crazy books? Yes, like how about how about just don't teach the idea of transgenderism and all this stuff to the which
no,
you
go
you
ahead
see
teach
happening,
it, but not to 6-year-olds.
Just to this age level, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
Which the truth is, the law didn't go nearly far enough. It just, the reasonable
that,
take on all
a,
that is
everybody
should
have that would be a reasonable argument, right?
Yeah.
For you to argue with somebody that feels it went
third
far.
Grade is still way too young, in my opinion.
Right, but okay, that's
it's
a, that's
the weirdest. I mean, look, first thing, when I was a kid, I remember spotting like Divine, who was the John Waters, you know, creature, he, she, you know, early money tranny.
Loved her. And I was a huge Pink Flamingo fan in college. You don't even know what that is, do you?
Go on
Amazon and watch the documentary.
Divine, about it. Divine was like a transvestite, as we used to call him, you know, back in the day. When I was a kid, trans people and like a man dressed as a woman, like an adult man, you know, with the thing, frightened me. Like it would freak me out.
Sure,
it's frightening when you're
but you're a white supremacist, so of course you're freaked out.
I'm just saying it was weird and it was kind of freaky. So was just a lot of sexual stuff.
Yes,
you know what I mean.
So yes.
I just didn't need to know about it.
But you could argue back to Dave's point. You could argue that we needed to loosen that up a little bit so people could be themselves and not worry and not get freaked out.
I don't mean like ban these people or whatever, but that's like, I remember once when I was like 8 or 9, I had a neighbor who was about 4 or 5 years older than me, a guy, and we hung out. We were kind of like best friends. And like, remember one time my mom said, if he ever tries to touch you in a way that doesn't feel good or something. And I remember going, oh, ew, come on. Wah. Like, yuck. Like, I was embarrassed that, come on, man, don't even say it's not going to do that. You know, it was creepy and weird sounding to me. And I'm just saying, in general, like this notion that we got to tune up every 9-year-old on sex, whatever it is, you know, it could be heterosexual positions, you know, AIDS, yeah. you know, tranny, transsexual, he, she's trans. It's like, maybe we just save it until they sprout a pube. But that's like, I mean, crazy it. Like, why is there one? But I don't need to know. It's like, you don't need to know about ethnic cleansing when you're nine.
Yeah. Either. No, I agree.
Like, just let him be a kid for a while, and then they'll find out about all this shit at some point.
Yeah, you got to be an adult for, like, the vast majority of your life. Yeah. Well, I mean, hopefully. So, like, let's just extend the innocence as long as you can is kind of how I feel, at least with my kids. Like, I don't want them. I'm also, I feel this weird, like, kind of embarrassment on behalf of adults. Like, I got, yes. I got little kids, but I'm like, oh, man, I don't want you to find out how much of a, like, a mess this whole thing is. You right. know what I mean? Yeah, and, like, yeah. you're like, oh, yeah, these adults, I'm pretending we all have it together, but we really don't right now. So, like, but just for now, like, let be in your little world where you think the adults have it together.
Well, that was always the thing. I mean, that was why, it's going to sound weird, but that's why Catcher in the Rye was such a thing for our generation. You're too young, but it was.
No, I read it. I read
but,
it in
but
school.
But it was about the loss of innocence,
right.
ultimately. That was the metaphor. Meanwhile, fucking J.D. Salinger is molesting teenagers, but that's a whole other story. Do you know that story?
That I do not know.
Oh boy. But anyway. So, and really like really shitty stuff. Like really. But that,
yeah, damn, that makes me look at the book differently now.
Yeah, I know.
You're like, you creep.
Fan. I read all his stuff. I was such a goddamn fan when I was growing up. And then I watched the documentary. I'm like, oh no.
Yeah.
But anyway, so the point is though, loss of innocence was something meaningful that we don't even think about now. That
right.
Really, what about the people that need to be represented to those little kids?
Oh, I mean, what about when you see, like, people dragging their four-year-olds to, like, the Black Lives Matter protests, and they're screaming in front of a cop, you know, just kill me now, you know, and I can't breathe and stuff. And you're looking at the kid, and you're like, Jesus Christ.
That's very weird, but there's that's a very weird thing, but there is nothing, I mean, like, dude, it is shocking the parents who will actually like really start transing their 4 or 5 year old kids, and like that you're like, well, this isn't even just like bringing your kid to like this thing that's so weird to bring your kid to one of these protests where it's like weird and going to be like disturbing, but you're actually like kind of in a like you're profoundly fucking with this kid for as like it's really it's like some type of sacrament to the woke religion where you're like you know you'll see like these parents where they're like I have 3 kids, 2 of them are transgender, and you're like, okay, well already the odds of that are like so like the odds are so much higher that no you're just guiding your kids into this thing that you believe in. But what a disturbing thing to do to a kid.
To be fair, we don't know and we got to figure that out, but the really challenging part is I have known people who've gotten hormone blocking agents at 11 and 12 and become whatever they wanted to be. And it pretty clear to me, maybe it wasn't, I mean, it was the right choice for them. I mean, might there have been other choices? Perhaps. But they are thriving. And so I don't want to take that away from people that, you know, that's a possibility. It is a possibility. But it's about the doctor is picking the right patient to do that to. Not everybody the parent presents to them.
Right.
You have to have criteria for this. And we just
and it should be
it.
Very strict, I'd imagine. Like, very strict. Because you're talking about something that's irreversible.
It go bad also.
Right.
And so that's the problem. And that's the doctor's fault. Nobody else's. We shouldn't be doing that unless we know exactly what we're doing. And that's why some countries have backed away. Because we don't really know how to select that right patient for the right treatment.
Well, from what I understand, that the biggest study on it showed that for about 80% of kids who claim, you know, to identify as the opposite, if they don't have the treatment, they end up living life as their actual gender, as their biological gender. But for those other 20%, I mean, like, I don't know. There's an argument there. But it's just what the religion of it is that it's like twofold. It's like, any kid who ever says it or utters the words, that is right and must be treated as the opposite. And then that it actually is the same thing. Actually what they'll claim. And that you're not allowed now, we're not allowed to live in biological reality and point out that, like, no, there are biological realities so
whenever,
that exist.
Whenever there's evangelism around biology or medicine, watch out.
Yeah, yeah.
Watch out. Well, the
doctors
fact,
do this all the time.
What I push back against is the fact that I'm not allowed to push back. Like, you've told us that there was a virus that came from a pangolin in a wet market, and there's a lab up the street that works on such viruses, and I'm not allowed to ask whether it came from there, or there's been a 7,000% increase in women becoming men and men becoming women in the last 10 minutes, and I'm not allowed to ask a question, so I'll be shouted down or deplatformed or called whatever, the denier, whatever, vax denier, whatever it is, or racist or something, because we're not allowed to ask. And my whole thing is, like, you know, I'm not a physician, but if I see things there, well, I grew up, I never met a kid with a peanut allergy. Now we have peanut-free zones at schools, and I'm like, am I allowed to ask? What happened biologically in the last 20 minutes that everyone's now rejecting peanuts on a cellular level? Maybe there's something that we did. Yeah. Maybe half these kids don't have peanut allergies. Maybe they should have been exposed to peanuts instead of hiding from peanuts. Maybe too much antiseptic soap. Look, I have questions. Can I ask these questions? Well, or are you just going to go, we need to cordon off a bigger zone for the peanut kids?
I think in like COVID particularly woke a lot of people up to this, and myself included, I mean, to different levels. I like to think I was somewhat aware of this before, but you're just kind of like, it's, you just have a lot less trust in these people in positions of authority and institutions, especially in the medical community.
We didn't know.
To me, it's not only less trust. Like, less trust is sort of like, well, the guy's not as good at fixing transmissions as I thought. It said A number one on top of his transmission shot. He may be a B minus. You know, this isn't that. This is like Fauci's talking and Rochelle Walensky's talking and Biden's talking. And I'm sitting there going, all right, what are they really trying to do? So, like, what are they trying to do? It's not even like, oh, I think he knows 20% less than I thought he knew. So, I was like, he's fucking lying about something, and I want to know what his end game is.
I agree with you on that. When it comes to the people at the top, it's not even like I'm saying I lost trust in them. It's like, oh, I realized how evil, what evil monsters they are. Captured. That's what I think.
Captured.
Yeah, but it's still pretty evil, if you ask me.
And by the way, so I'm working with this attorney, interviewing this attorney that is suing a lot of these organizations for things. And we were talking about how the NIH was funding the EcoHealth Alliance and Peter Daszak, and I couldn't understand it. I was like, what the hell? What are they doing? And I told this guy, I go, the only reason way I can understand it is if what they're doing is funding some counter-espionage so we can understand what China's doing with these viruses. And he went, stand by. I got details. Yeah. So there you go.
Yeah.
So there's shit going on we don't know about.
No, that's for sure. But the point, what I was talking about, even with like the trust thing, is I'm not even talking about like the captured or corrupt people at the very top. I'm talking about like my kid's pediatrician who I had to leave because he's trying to get me to vaccinate my kids with this COVID vaccine. I'm having arguments with him, and I'm right about everything.
Well, you're a comedian,
I should not be winning the argument against a medical doctor. But he just fell for the propaganda. And I'm not even saying like it's my opinion that I was winning the argument. I'm saying like it's been demonstrated now. This was a year ago. It's been clearly demonstrated. He's arguing with me that you won't be able to get COVID or transmit it if you have the vaccine. You know, like things like this. And you just go like, oh, wow, I can't trust a doctor to know more about medicine than I know. That kind of sucks.
Yes.
Because I'd like to be able to be like, okay, this guy is would probably know.
The transmission guy would know more about the transmission than you.
Yeah.
All right, we'll take a quick break. We'll be right back after this. Simply Safe. Well, you've heard us talk about Simply Safe and how are they named best home security in 2023 by U.S. News and World Report. But they're not resting on their laurels. They're always innovating. New 2-in-1 smoke and CO detector distinguishes between fire and cooking smoke, so we get fewer false alarms. Simply Safe's been a sponsor with us for many years, and we all use it here. It's easy. It's fast. You do it yourself. You don't have to have some weird ex-con crawling around your house, ironically, putting in your system. Do it yourself. Easy. Do it in about half an hour. 24/7 professional monitoring. They have trained agents to respond in an emergency, dispatch, police, fire, EMTs, right to your door. And even if you're away and can't be reached, they'll still handle it. Costs under $1 a day. And right now, get 20% off your new system when you sign up for interactive monitoring. Visit simplysafe.com/Adam2. That is simplysafe.com/Adam2. There's no safe like Simply Safe. All right. Back with thinker Dave Smith. We're always the best comedians, by the way.
I'm going to go back to Hitler real quick because I saw a Norm Macdonald bit that I just thought was so great. He goes, you guys are worrying about China and Iran. He goes, there's this country, Germany. You've said this before, Adam. He goes, I'm worried about Germany. They thought it was a good idea to have as their enemy the world. He goes, they made war with the world. And then they came back around again with this guy. And he decided it's time to do war again with the world.
Such a great bet. So.
Yeah, I find myself listening to and sometimes watching old Norm clips on YouTube, some of which is, you know, he and I breaking down Kenny Rogers songs or something like that. Some of it's a little self-fulfilling. I got to be honest with you, but I'm mostly laughing at his contributions to it. But yeah, we were talking about this notion of you know, experts not being experts. I just saw somebody tweeted me today. I guess it was a study out of Israel where they now think no young, healthy people died of COVID. Like none. That's the latest one, which I've been saying for. And yeah. By the way, when somebody goes, you know, they do a thing where they go, well, not none. There may have been seven. That's none.
Statistically speaking, it's
zero.
Nothing. Yeah.
It's just zero. Yeah. Well, what it means is we don't have to think about it. Like it doesn't have to be considered. Right. And I always said that this whole thing was about panicking the populace and the people who are in power, seizing more power, and you couldn't do it without the kids. And I tapped into it super early, which was it's about scaring the moms and scaring them about their kids. And I don't see any evidence that I was incorrect about my number one assertion. My first impulse about this whole thing was this is killing old, sick people. And that's not scaring moms. So we're going to scare the shit out of the moms by focusing on kids. And that's, and then we just hustled down that road and we never looked back. And it got back to like your pediatrician, which is there is no reason to get a 5-year-old vaccinated. And I was screaming about this the whole time. There's no reason to get healthy people vaccinated, really, or people that don't have comorbidities.
Where the rubber really hits the road is we don't know how yet to counsel on the risk reward of this. Mm-hmm. That's our job. And as you find out less and less were injured by the virus itself, and maybe more and more by the vaccine, how do you counsel the risk reward for every given patient that's in front of you? And there's a school of thought now that we really did not give proper consent to anybody. And that's, you know, you should sign a paper with consent usually. Nobody did that for the vaccine.
Yeah.
It's going to be an issue going forward. You know, another thing on the fear thing, I heard you guys on ACS talking about the AIDS pandemic and how they scared the shit out of your generation. I was part of that. And I it's a really interesting playbook that Fauci opened up in 1983. Mm-hmm. He kept telling us, you got to scare them. Tell them there are going to be 2 million dead, 2 million dead. And we ended up with 275,000 AIDS deaths, and we congratulate ourselves. Scared the shit out of a whole generation, but it was worth it, right?
Right.
And so when it came around to COVID, I thought, oh, I recognize this playbook. It's no longer valid, and certainly is not appropriate for this virus, but it was that same old playbook that he pulled out in 1983.
Yeah, I'll tell you this too, and I don't want this to come off as conspiratorial as it sounds, because I'm not suggesting I'm not suggesting some wild conspiracy about this that you might infer, but you know, like America sponsors color-coded revolutions all around the world. This is like a thing that our CIA does. This isn't a controversial thing to say. We've done this different times. Yeah. And there are these, the playbook is basically like, okay, when we want to overthrow a regime, but we're not willing to like commit the military to do it, we try, and if we can't get like the CIA, like, you know, like assassins to be able to do it, because sometimes these governments are good at protecting their leaders. What we'll do is like, we'll foment massive riots and protests in the streets. You run big propaganda campaigns against the leader, ballot stuffing, cheating in the elections, like all these different things. And if you look at the year 2020, there are a lot of hallmarks of a color-coded revolution. Now, I'm not saying they made the virus for this or something. I'm saying I think the opportunity presented itself,
yeah,
and getting Trump out was at a very high priority for, let's say, like George Soros, the person who sponsors all of these color-coded revolutions, is also the biggest donor to the Democratic Party. And it does seem like a lot of money went into, say, like bailing out all of the people who were rioting and making sure that they were back at the protest the next day. We overhauled the way we do elections with the mail-in votes. Not even saying there was necessarily any fraud there, just saying it made it a lot easier for people to vote, which helps the Democrats. And there were just a lot. It seemed to me like a lot of the goal in 2020 was like, we're going to bury this guy by making his fourth year the worst year in modern American history. And it's very hard to win a re-election if that's the case, no matter whose fault it was. It's just very hard.
Part of that,
I think that they jumped on the opportunity to sabotage Trump's economy. Never,
what was the phrase? You know, never waste a disaster, essentially a crisis. They jumped on it, and you knew they jumped on it because they were simultaneously saying COVID is a world class killer, and then Trump would send over a hospital ship and they'd go, get your ship out of here. It's like, okay, well, which is it then? Is it killing everybody? And if it is killing everybody and we're running out of beds and we're overstaffed, then why don't you thank Trump for sending over the hospital ship? Why are you rejecting everything Trump sends you to try to mitigate the disaster that you guys are saying COVID is? And that's when it became pretty transparent what was going on. The sad part about the election, as I've said to everyone a million times, like, everyone is talking about sort of ballot harvesting and stuffing boxes and Dominion being corrupted or whatever. And it was like, no, the tampering with the election was done by the CIA and the FBI and CNN. Those were those and Twitter.
Yeah.
And
Trump made a real mistake, I think, by having his lawyers focus on all this, these wild claims that he couldn't prove. Like,
yeah.
I don't know if they're true or not, but I know that I've never seen any evidence to like suggest that they are. And they all got laughed out of court every time they went because they just had no case. So however you feel, like, you could believe in your heart that like the Dominion voting machines were flipping votes, but you don't have any evidence to provide that. But what you do have is like what you were saying. I mean, we now know that it was actually, it was Blinken on the Biden campaign who reached out to the CIA to ask them to put together this letter with four former directors of the CIA, all saying that this Hunter Biden laptop had all the hallmarks of Russian disinformation to get Donald Trump out of there. So you have the CIA working against the sitting president of the United States to unseat him. That's all you need. You don't have to go to some of these other claims of like that's really blatant election interference.
I mean, like, that's Trump's like somebody stole a sack of mail in Arcadia, California that had ballots in it. We have Ring doorbell footage of it. It's like, you don't need that. CIA turned against you to try to get Biden elected. This is a huge story that nobody will report on because they're on the other side and they got the story wrong. Yeah, although I don't even know if they got the story wrong or they just knew what they were doing. And went,
yeah.
Fuck it.
I treated a CIA agent once, an alcoholic. Mm-hmm. And it's really interesting. Something most people don't know is this guy was the most nebbishy, baby Huey. Like, you couldn't imagine this guy was up to anything.
Right.
And he goes, that's how we all are. He goes, I blew up ballot boxes. I blew up voting places. I knew I was a ballistics expert or whatever, explosive expert. And this guy, you look at me, you can't even believe it. And that's exactly who they put out there in the field.
That is really something. That's interesting.
Yeah, he goes, we're all like this. We're all like this. All the CIA agents. They didn't want you to see Sean Connery, Roger Moore coming in.
Right.
That's what they expect.
Right. Yeah, it's interesting that they're actually sort of groomed to some degree or vetted
to fit, to blend in, to not be noticed.
Yeah, to not be the Hollywood version of what they are. But yes, I do agree that it is insane that it's nonstop discussion. I mean, if you really just think about the sort of nuts and bolts of it, nonstop discussion about the Russian government interfering with our election. We had the American government, CIA, FBI, interfere with our election, and none of the people that cared about the Russians interfering with our election and compromising and corrupting are saying jack shit about what the CIA did with our election, and they ain't
RFK
interested.
RFK Jr. is.
That's very interesting. He's talking about it because the actual story is that the story about Russia interfering in our election was the CIA interfering in our elections. Yes. They were knowingly making up this story, or at least the FBI was knowingly making it up, because they knew from the very beginning, you know, and this is the only one guy who got charged, and I think he pled down his case because government people don't really get held responsible for what they do. But the one guy who did get charged was the FBI agent who lied on the FISA warrant for Carter Page, because the CIA told the FBI that they go, oh, no, he's not a Russian agent. He's our guy.
Right.
And so they basically the FBI had, oh, well, he met with these like Russians who tried to get him to flip sides. And the CIA was like, yeah, we know he met with those Russians. He came back and told us about it immediately. Right. He's our guy. Right. And so then the FBI on the FISA application goes, we have reason to believe he met with these Russians, and this was confirmed by the CIA. So they said, yes, the CIA confirmed this, which is technically true, but they left out the part that they confirmed it and said, but he's with us, and we know this because he came and told us. So the whole thing, the whole start of it, which was with the Carter Page stuff, they knew going into it that there's nothing here. And then Robert Mueller knew. I mean, you got to think, right, what was it? It was like 2 years that the Mueller investigation's going on. Whole time he's well aware that he's found no evidence of this.
Right.
But he keeps his mouth shut the whole time, through the midterm elections, through everything. And here's one just detail that's real interesting. I don't know if you guys remember this, but about a month before the Mueller investigation was released, before the report was released, BuzzFeed ran this story that they just pulled out of their ass. They had two reporters who claimed they had seen evidence that Michael Cohen had been instructed by Donald Trump to lie under oath, and this was going to be the big thing. Donald Trump, there were going to be charges brought against Donald Trump. This was all coming out in the Mueller report. And Mueller sent one of his people from the team to tell the press, hey, this is not true.
Yeah.
This accusation that's out in the press is not true.
It was the only sort of affirmative thing he said the whole way.
But it's because, so you're willing to come out and tell the press that a rumor circulating is not true, but you sat quiet for 2 years while they're saying the sitting president is a Russian spy, and you never once thought to come out and go, hey, by the way, we haven't found anything that way. So, like, don't get ahead of yourself. No, he let them get through the midterms with that hanging over Trump's head, let the Democrats take back Congress, and then came out with, like, oh, yeah, we have nothing.
It's insidious, and it's also, the part that's really weird about it is, like, when I was interviewing Chris Hansen about, you know, catch a pedophile or whatever it was. But I realized that Chris Hansen had been done straight news for like 30 years, you know, and I was like, what's going on with the news outlets? Like, why aren't they doing, oh, you know, they're underfunded, they just don't have the budget, and they got a bunch of 23-year-olds. And it's like, no, they're not doing news anymore. They're acting as a like wing of the Democratic Party. And they're like, and he's like, no, they're not. You know, this was the problem. The problem was that we just went through was the denial. You know, it's like, oh, CIA makes some mistakes, or the FBI makes some mistakes, or CNN gets it wrong every once in a while. The Los Angeles Times, can they make it something wrong about COVID, or Fauci make it something wrong, or Rochelle Walensky may not have all that. It's like, but they would never interfere with anything. They would never knowingly give you misinformation. You know, LA Times is trying their best. They don't have the money that they used to have. It's like, that's not what's going on. All this stuff was pretty knowable. It was all knowable.
100%.
100% knowable if you were interested at all in doing news.
But think about how much stuff is knowable now that's not being addressed on COVID.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Lockdowns, on masks. It's just not. Moving on.
All right. Well, speaking of moving on, Dave Smith, everybody. Love talking to this guy. Legions of Skanks is co-host of. And comedian Dave Smith is where we
comic,
go.
ComicDaveSmith.com.
Comic. I didn't write it down because I didn't know we were going to roll it over into this show, but now. Very funny stand-up. Watched him do stand-up the other night. Very enjoyable. Dave, thanks for joining us.
Oh, thank Appreciate you, guys. I've been a fan since back in Loveline, so this is cool for me. Thanks for having me.
And until next time, it's Adam Carolla for Dr. Drew and Dave Smith saying mahalo.
Stream hit blockbusters that will have you laughing during Popcorn Summer Movies on Pluto TV. Go on a hilarious journey with Tropic Thunder. Or join Queen Latifah in The Beauty Shop. Plus, Pluto TV has hundreds of channels with thousands more movies. Available on live and on demand. Download Pluto TV on all your favorite devices for free. Pluto TV. Stream now. Pay never.